is. A very careful in the same aquatic expedient.
Eat meat,
a release. Bus driving's hotter on your head than on your feet. Dirty Frank.
Where's the Dirty Frank of 2013?
Need a psychopathic, cannibalistic tour bus driver.
I don't know the backstory. I never
No,
looked into it.
It's about a bus driver. It's about a bus driver that eats people.
Really?
Yeah.
Where
there's
did
even
this happen?
Like it's about like I think they wrote it about one of their bus drivers, jokingly.
Oh my god.
Dirty Frank Dahmer, he's a gourmet cook, yeah. Blah, blah. It's totally there's a line in there that's like, hey, where's Mike McCready meat? Like there's seriously like it's about a bus driver that the tour bus driver that is cannibal.
Oh my god, he wasn't real.
Cook them just to see the looks on their face.
It was an imaginary.
Yes, I assume imaginary. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Eddie used to like to pull the headlines out of the newspaper. Yeah, you never know. Oh, I love this.
Shut your mouth, hey man! I'm just talking about Dirty Frank.
Evil Little Goats podcast number
7. 7. We will get these
7.
On iTunes by 10, episode 10, I swear.
No way.
That's the goal. And I want to have a guest for our 10th episode.
Yeah, we should.
Maybe even our 9th. Maybe we'll have a pre-guest get. Like
maybe we can get Brendan O'Brien.
We can try. Why not? Hey, former vice president of Sony, would you like to?
What are you doing, man?
You want to be on a podcast?
It's a Monday night. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Just come on and hang out.
It is 62 days until the release of Lightning Bolt.
62 days. And how many days how many days since you last saw Pearl Jam? Is that what we were keeping
Too
track
many.
Of? Okay.
We were keeping track of how many days since Pearl Jam last played Seattle.
That's what it was.
Which would be the last time I saw Pearl Jam.
And it was 1,000 something.
It was way too
huge.
Fucking long.
Too much math.
Yes.
Way too much math.
It was. I don't have enough fingers to count.
Yeah. It takes more than 10. See what I did there?
Ooh.
Hey, how about that deal?
We need a rim shot.
Thanks a lot for listening to the show. And we took last week off because, stuff came up. But tons and tons of stuff has come out about the band, from the band, in that time. Among them, an interview in what was that little rag that thing came up in? Was it Rolling
it's
Stone?
A small little magazine based out of San Francisco. I think they're out of New York now.
An unknown.
Yeah, some dickhead, Jan Wiener. Is that what it's called?
I don't even know.
Jan Wiener is the guy.
Is that who it is? Okay.
Yeah. It's spelled Jan with two N's because it's like... It's pretentious. I'm sure that's actually his real name. Is probably Jan with two N's, but it's Jan Wiener. He also operates or is one of the driving forces behind the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's the publisher and editor and executive something or other of Rolling Stone.
Hack.
Yes, hack.
Who did he interview?
He didn't interview anybody. Well, at least for our purposes, he's interviewed a lot of people in the past. But the Rolling Stone online .com, I guess, published an interview with Brendan O'Brien.
Yes.
The man who has worked on 7 out of 10 of Pearl Jam's studio releases. And I assume he also released on, he also worked on Lost Dogs, I'm going to assume. So that would make it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
That would make it one not studio release. Is Lost Dogs a studio release? I guess it is. They're studio recordings.
Yeah. So. Now, somebody was making a big deal today, maybe you know more about this than I do, but somebody making a big deal about Pearl Jam or Monkey Wrench Records getting on SoundCloud. They uploaded a ton of music up there, I guess.
Interesting. They've been on SoundCloud for a while, Monkey Wrench.
Okay.
Because I've gotten streams, like private streams for Gorilla Candy from Monkey Wrench. Maybe a guest we could have on this episode one time might be Christian Fresco, who is the, I guess he's the, what is he, the manager of Monkey Wrench? Or he's the head. He's the label head. Really nice dude.
Really?
Super nice guy.
That would be very interesting.
One of the 17 or 30 people who works for Pearl Jam and 10 Club.
Yeah.
But anyway, Monkey Wrench has been on SoundCloud for a while. I didn't know they uploaded new music. That's pretty exciting.
I don't know if it was new. I've never checked out their SoundCloud page, but somebody tweeted something about it, so I checked it out, and there was just like this library of Pearl Jam songs and Stone Gossard songs and Young Evil stuff and just a whole bunch of stuff up there.
Very cool.
Yeah. But the Brendan O'Brien interview, anything revealing, anything jump out at you?
It was kind of fun to read about Brendan O'Brien talking about his relationship with Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
And how initially it was business as usual, and Ed was, you know,
kind of standoffish.
Kind of, standoffish self, like, hey, I'm just here to record. And now they're like, their kids grew up together and they're buddies. And, you know, it's just, hey, Eddie and Brendan, best BFFs, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I really enjoyed the kind of, they talked about working on Verses and Vitalogy and how they would just show up and jam. And it wouldn't, they would have nothing written, nothing ready at all. And I think Brendan's comment was, yeah, that's how young guys make records. We don't make records like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, they, everybody, when they made Lightning Bolt, that's the record, right? Lightning Bolt?
That's the new one.
The
yeah.
new one, yeah.
yeah.
It just
featuring
sounds,
Mind Your Manners.
It just feels so weird to say Lightning Bolt by Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
It's just strange.
Give it 3 years when we're begging for a new record.
Yeah, it's like, give me a follow-up to Lightning Bolt. No, but he talked about when they were recording Lightning Bolt that, like, initially it started right after Backspacer. Like, they had a week and a half in the studio after Backspacer, and they had songs and they had stuff ready.
Like 5 to 7 songs or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and then, like, a year and a half passes and then they come back to the studio and then they come back to the studio a year and a half after that, and so then they finally wrap up Lightning Bolt. But it was a lot of, like, I guess they weren't ready to release it, you know. He said that they had ideas and they had songs that they thought were good, and then when they came back it was like, well, these songs have to be better than those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So either they kept besting themselves or they figured, like, when they stopped they're like, well, we can't get any better than what we've got.
Well, it's interesting. He also talks about, and I think it was driven by the question that was asked about the side projects and the things that these guys do when they're not doing Pearl Jam, and how he said, you know, I really wish that they would focus their energy on Pearl Jam, because as a producer, of course, that's what he cares about. He wants to make the best record possible, and he doesn't want these guys, you know, spending energy somewhere else that should be here. And to some degree, I think I agree with him, because most of what I've heard in terms of side projects, I end up going like, really? That's it.
But the
I'm looking at you, ukulele album.
Well, that's a double-sided coin, though, because, I mean, on the devil's advocate is that, you know, ukulele album lets Ed get that out of his system so he can write Lightning Bolt.
Right.
And same with, like, Mike, you know, recording with Star Anna and working on Marco Collins' documentary and doing all this other stuff. Or, you know, Jeff doing Trey Mountains and Random, and Stone doing Brad. You know, that allows that's their outlet outside of Pearl Jam to be, hey, this is my, and granted those projects become more about them than, say, the project itself, just like Pearl Jam becomes more about Eddie Vedder than about the band.
Yeah.
Because the star is in the side project. But it also was like, hey, this is my side thing. This is another thing I'm good at. I'm expressing my creativity here. Mm-hmm. This is my non Pearl Jam side,
right?
You know, and then you come back, and now I'm ready to kick ass with Pearl Jam.
P.S. Don't let me ever get in the way of a Brad album. Anything Brad, sign me up.
You know, I don't think you're gonna get a Brad album for a while.
No, I know,
because they released two in the last 3 years. I think you're gonna have to wait.
Yeah, but I love them so much.
They reissued Discovery Park. Welcome to Discovery Park.
Did they?
And they also reissued, they've been reissuing their albums with bonus tracks.
Oh, okay. I think I saw that, yeah.
So I think they're reissuing the first three. So.
Wow. I love the first one. Holy smokes. I love
it. You want to know one of my favorite, well, I guess it's a favorite of my Pearl Jam memorabilia that, like, the tons of it that I have, they all like four pieces or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got a copy of United We Stand on vinyl, signed by all the members of Brad.
Nice.
And then I've got the set list from when they played Easy Street. I grabbed it and then everybody signed it. And then Regan was signing it. And Stone, like, didn't even look at my set list. He didn't even sign it. So as Regan was signing it, I said, oh, that's, thanks, Regan. Thanks for signing it. And he's sitting right next to Stone. And I said, it's okay, Stone. Stone doesn't need to sign it at all. You know, I get it. He's too big for the set list. And Stone turns around and looks at me.
No way, dude.
And he shoots me this look. And he takes my set list and he signs it. And I said, thanks, Stone. It's all right, man. I was totally joking. I know you get it. And besides, you have a way better guitar face than MacReady. And he smiled.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
I'm pretty sure I pissed him off.
But then you recovered.
And then I recovered. But you know, when I interviewed him, I didn't mention that.
When we interviewed Sean Smith on my other podcast, my brother was just giving him endless shit about working with this prima donna. And of course, they've got to work around the schedule of the guitar player because he's, you know, he's such a big deal. And Sean just kept going like, man, I don't want my friend to get all pissed off at me. but Sean was a good sport about it. You mentioned the merchandise, and that was one of the things I noticed on the brand new Pearl Jam app.
Ah, yes, the app.
Available on your device of whatever nature.
iPod, iPhone, Google Glass, maybe? I don't know.
Google Glass. But one of the things that jumped out was the shop and all the gear that you can buy.
Of course.
There's a couple cool t-shirts. There's a onesie.
There's a onesie, yes.
The chicks in the tight t-shirts, the grocery bags, the various albums. The Sonic style
the throwback. Yeah. They actually had them in mail. They're $100. They had them in mints, but they sold them out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But the app is pretty cool. You get you got all the dates, so you can buy tickets for whatever show you want to go to, assuming that
they're available.
Are not sold out yet. You got a timeline of various news events.
The timeline is fantastic. Spend some time with that timeline,
Jeremy,
because
you
can go back to like 1997 and just scroll down, and it tells you like, okay, the band played this show on whatever date, and then if they release a record, it'll have a note about the record. If there was news on Pearl Jam's website, I don't know how far back it goes, but you know, they always post their press releases or their like news that they send out to their fans on pearljam.com. And you can actually see what happened like that day, like say like, you know, October 18th, 1999, Pearl Jam announces this and whatever it is that you can see that news statement from that year.
The earliest item on here, 1990, the set list from when they played the Off-Ramp Cafe.
Ah, yes. I have that boot. I have a horrible boot of that. You can actually find that on YouTube.
See, I was going to say, I want to see. I think that this will just play. Oh, I thought it was going to actually play the music.
No, no. And what's a little disappointing is they list the set lists on a lot of the on all the shows. And I was looking in the last year's tour. I wanted to find the words to Yellow Ledbetter.
Oh yeah.
Do you know the words to Yellow Ledbetter? I don't know the words to Yellow Ledbetter.
Please, nobody knows the words to Yellow Ledbetter.
I think that's the point because Yellow Ledbetter, they did not list lyrics.
That's funny. Yeah, why would they not have the song? You should be able to play the song. See, that'd be the thing. That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe there'll be an app upgrade.
Maybe, but that would be a lot of upgrades.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's a ton of audio to upload to.
Well, they could always do snippets, because some apps, like some band apps, will give you snippets of songs.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you're a 10 Club member, you can listen to Pearl Jam Radio.
Now, I was going to ask you, there's the Pearl Jam Radio.
Here's what I can't figure out how to do, and maybe some listener can help me out here, all 13 of you that are listening, the Lucky 13, as I have now dubbed our fan base, the Lucky 13. Feel free to think of a better name, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
They you can play Pearl Jam Radio, but then when you close the app, it turns off.
They'll fix that. That's a bug.
That's got to be an update. Because there's the Pearl Jam Stat Tracker, which I've told you about and we've mentioned on this show, where you can play 10 Club. You can play Pearl Jam Radio. You don't have to be a 10 Club member. Don't tell Pearl Jam.
Really?
It's unofficial. I'm sure they'd shut it down if they wanted to.
I'm gonna tap to start listening. I'm not a member, by the way.
Oh, interesting. A little bit of even flow going on.
This is from Holmdel, New Jersey.
I love how they stretch out this song all the time, you know? Mike Plake could play this solo for like, you know, 10 minutes.
July 14th, 2003, New Jersey show, a little even flow.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can listen to Pearl Jam Radio right there on the app.
That's kind of nice.
Now you are a 10 Club member, right?
Yes, I am.
What is the bonus material? You got a lighter, you got a candle, and you got BG art.
Yes, background art.
Aha.
So you get photos that you can put on your phone.
Ah.
And then is
the lighter just a lighter on my phone so I can hold it up at the
concert?
You
know, it's always crashed when I click on the lighter, and I click on the candle, same thing.
It's got to be because you can get a lighter app for free.
Yes.
So that's kind of silly, guys.
And I don't know what extra stuff they're going to do there for 10 Club. I know that you can probably check your 10 Club messages because you can PM with other members and stuff like that. You could probably track your purchases.
Sure.
Really cool thing about 10 Club, I was checking out the form today, and people who bought the Wrigley setlist shirt, remember the shirt that they were making of the setlist for Wrigley that they were selling? They eventually sold those on the Pearl Jam's merch site. They sold out real fast. People who bought those, 10 Club just added extra shirt. Not just a regular, like, oh, here's a shirt from Calgary 2009. Oh, here's a extra this and that. They're just like giving away old merch that they can't get rid of, apparently, to like fans who are buying shit.
That's pretty cool.
And it's the last 10 Club, every month there's been a 10 Club newsletter this year. I don't think that's a regular thing. I think that that's just started like recently. And the last email newsletter for August mentioned like, hey, make sure your addresses are up to date. You don't want to miss any special treats or something like that.
Mm.
So you never know if they're just gonna like mail you something.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's probably worth it. What are they charging now for the 10 Club?
It's 20 or 40 bucks. 20 bucks for analog, or 20 bucks for digital, 40 bucks for analog. The difference is the analog, you get a copy of Deep Magazine, which is the annual fan magazine.
Okay.
And you also get the 7-inch.
Ah.
You get it, whereas the analog or the digital, you only get downloads, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then I think you get there used to be like a special gift membership. Like one year they gave away T-shirts. That became really expensive, so they stopped doing that.
Yeah.
So I think there might be a little extra something that you get.
Yeah, I'd be a digital fan if I was going to do it, because I'm all about the downloads.
Yeah, well, and it's only 20 bucks.
I have a Fisher-Price record player that I bust out every now and then.
But what do you download on that?
Not much. Not much. Doesn't work so well with the iPod.
No.
Or iPhone or whatever. All right, well, from past to present, mind your manners. Mike McCready was talking about this. What was the deal with this? Who was he talking to, and what was he talking about?
I think it was just a regular video production made for Pearl Jam put it out on their YouTube channel, and they put it out on their website. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that I have yet to pre-order Lightning Bolt. I'm going to do that probably next payday. I've been wanting to pre-order on vinyl, so I've been...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's 25 bucks and then $7 shipping, so I've been kind of, it's for me, $32 is a lot to pay for a record.
Yeah.
It's a band that I love, so I'm going to do it, but...
Sucker.
But, yeah. But if you pre-order it, you get, like, digital goodies, so you get, like, I think probably, like, a making of little snippet or...
Right.
So maybe a few other things, so I'm guessing that this might have been an outtake from that.
Okay. Well,
maybe in like... An ideal world, there would be one of these for every song off Lightning Bolt.
That'd be cool. Or even one from each band member. Like, if there's only five, but each guy had their input on why they did this way.
Right.
Or whatever, would be kind of cool. Should we play this little clip of Mike, or has everybody already heard it?
No, let's play it.
All right.
It's good.
Mike McCready on Mind Your Manners.
Well, the riff I'm thinking about right now is this on a song called Mind Your Manners. And it's a... It's my attempt at trying to make a really hard edge type, Dead Kennedys type sounding song. In terms of the tone, I was looking at kind of East Bay Ray, California Uber Alley's type. What the texture and the tones that he used to use are just from listening to it. I don't know exactly what he used, but I wanted that kind of aggression and that kind of a feel in that song. And so. I came up with the lyrics, Mind Your Manners, and Jeff brought in a lot of his real punk rock kind of bass ideas of starting and stopping, and we're kind of the school that he comes from is that. I came from more the metal thing, but I always want to dive into the punk side. That's it. It's Mind Your Manners, and I wanted it to be as kind of Dead Kennedys as possible.
What's interesting to me about that? Stop. Nobody wants to hear that. At least not yet. What's interesting to me about that is that I totally get what he's saying. That kind of punk-driven sort of a sound, and that kind of surfer California thing that you hear it clear as day through that amp. But when you hear "Mind Your Manners," the studio track, a lot of that surfer thing goes away.
Well, and I wonder if it's the tonality of the guitar. I mean, it doesn't sound, or maybe it's what Stone's playing on top of what Mike's playing to make the tone sound different. Because it definitely...
Can we compare?
Yeah,
let's compare.
Let's compare.
Much heavier, more driven.
Yeah, very.
Like, even cleaner to some degree. And the way that he does it with that amp and that guitar that afternoon or whatever has a different tone. It has more of that kind of surfer Dick Dale sort of a thing
and
going on.
And it definitely has a heavier punk aspect to it.
Yeah.
Then I mean, it just sounds like more of a hard rock song with a punk edge.
Yeah.
As opposed to just hearing the guitar sounds more like a punk song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting to hear it that way, because I wonder how much of it gets changed by Brendan or gets changed when everyone weighs in. And I wonder if what he was doing there was more of, here's how I did it myself alone. Which was another interesting thing in the Brendan O'Brien interview, talking about how the guys do really work independently and then come in with their own elements and kind of work through the album now.
And I kind of knew that, and I think a lot of fans sort of have that idea. But when I interviewed Jeff, I asked about that, and he's like, yeah, I've written some stuff, and I'll bring it in. And that just made me think, well, everybody probably writes their own stuff.
I assume, I mean, yeah.
It makes sense that they have shared writing credits, or there's a song that's just written by Matt Cameron.
Right. And yeah. I don't assume that they go home and take 3 months off and walk in like, hey, guys, what have you been up to? Let's write some music. So, I mean, I assume that everyone brings something, but it sounds almost more very intentional that they don't work together until they've got enough stuff to really come in and hash out and weed through to find the best.
Well, I think they just wait until Eddie's done with his surfing vacations.
That could be it.
They're like, okay, Ed, you've had 3 years, dude. Come on.
When he's done throwing the axe at the hunk of wood in his backyard.
Well, and what's really interesting, we pretty much have an idea that Pearl Jam's not going to have a winter tour.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be in Australia for Big Day Out for January, which is January in Australia is July over here. So,
right.
I doubt they would tour in winter or February through, maybe they'll headline Coachella. You know, it was a rumor last year.
Really?
You know, I mean, it's the Chili Peppers headline Coachella. That had to have been as boring as hell.
Oh, God. So
I could see Pearl Jam doing it. Yeah.
But if they're afraid of selling out Key Arena.
Well, Coachella's going to sell it no matter what.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, Coachella is like a festival like Sasquatch or like Bonnaroo. Those festivals, they sell out. There's Coachella will sell out 2 weekends in a row, and that's not a problem. The reason why, and I've talked with Adam Zaks, who books Sasquatch, who essentially invented Sasquatch and curates the entire lineup every year. I've asked him, I was like, hey, when are you going to book my boys in Pearl Jam, or when are you going to book Radiohead? Those are two bands. Like, a long time ago, I asked him who were his ideal bands. This is before Sasquatch was a multi-day event.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Bjork and Radiohead. Mm. Now, the next year, he got Bjork. So right. I was like, okay, that means the year after, he's probably gunning for Radiohead.
Right.
And when I interviewed him and I asked him, I was like, hey, when are you going to get those bands? And this is when I got some real interesting insight into his specific booking philosophy. And I think this might bode well work for other festival bookers too. He's like, well, I'm not going to book them because they're going to sell it out no matter what. Like, they're a band that will sell out the Gorge by themselves.
Right.
So why would I have them headline my festival?
Hmm.
Because one, they're going to want tons of money.
Right.
So because they can do it on their own. So do it as part of a festival. and Live Nation is going to have then share the cut. Live Nation is going to have to dump tons of money at him.
Yeah,
or Adam Zach. So I'm thinking with like I know that Golden Voice, which operates Coachella and the folks that do Bonnaroo and stuff, a little bit of a different operation, bigger, much bigger scale, but. You know, they sell out too. They threw $5 million at the Smiths, and Morrissey said no. So think of how much money they could throw at Pearl Jam, and Pearl Jam would say yes.
Yeah. Well, that would be interesting. It's funny because they do play so many festivals around the world now. I don't see them as a festival band anymore though, because we don't see that here.
Right. No, and there's no big major. I mean, I guess Sasquatch is a big deal, but it's not.
But they're kind of
not that kind of festival.
Yeah. Exactly. Very weird. We were just playing a little bit of Mind Your Manners, and you got a sneak peek at what we think.
Well, might be the Lightning it's been Bolt debunked.
Track. Oh, has it?
It's been debunked.
But
it is interesting.
Because some of these, I mean, Brendan mentioned Infallible in the interview. That's on there. Lightning Bolt,
Siren.
We've heard. Sirens.
Sirens.
And Mind Your Manners.
I'm really excited to hear Sirens because somebody who claims to have heard the and, you know, this could have been any fucking jackass on a message board. so this is really how much faith I put in this. But somebody said it's like Black.
Ah.
And you watch. It's probably like a stupid, like, sexy mop song or something.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, that's not even like Black at all.
But, right.
But, you know, and then there's a song on there called Where's the Sponge? Is that what it's called?
Where's the Sponge? You got We're Outta Here.
Yeah.
Tame the Sane.
Yeah, and that fake track list came courtesy Sky Ice Grape, their Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
They're fantastic. They're fans of the show. We support them. They support us. They're great folks over there. And there have been two or three different track lists that have been floating around. And it's interesting. What would you think Where's the Sponge would sound like? If you had just based off the song title, knowing Pearl Jam... Like, what song in the catalog do you think it would?
This is where my handicap of not being title, being able to recall by title, something in the Vitalogy weird, you know, acid induced era, something along those lines.
You know, I think it might be like Fuck Me in My Brain Part 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one of those.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like I could, or
maybe a little more psychedelic though, not quite as angry.
Yeah, Eddie's calmed down a little. Nobody's throwing shoes at him. So,
So completely untrue. The set list that you're probably hanging on your wall right now.
The track list probably isn't true. But, you know, I'm going to start asking, I think, come September, if I can hear Lightning Bolt.
Nice.
So the first week or second week of September, I'm going to start planting a bug.
We'll leak it. We'll totally leak it.
We're not going to leak it.
we'll totally leak
it. I can't. I have too much of a... I'm just...
Travis won't leak it. I'll leak it. How about that? I'll leak it for him.
So you keep talking about leaking it. I'm not going to let you listen to it. And then you're going to have to just believe me.
Yeah, I usually do anyways.
Yeah.
You're not that much of a liar.
No.
So we gave... I'm not going to say we gave us a homework assignment. You gave us a homework assignment today, which was thoroughly enjoyable. With our anticipation, our waiting for the Lightning Bolt album to come out, we decided to go ahead and look back a little bit.
Yes.
And gave Backspacer another listen. Now, did you also get all the way through Avocado?
No, I got about halfway through.
Or whatever, Pearl Jam by Pearl Jam, whatever the official.
Interesting Avocado side note.
Okay.
And I really wanted to find these tracks. They're floating around. There are two demo B-sides from Avocado that were... briefly posted on YouTube. They were like, you know how, see the thing about Avocado, Backspacer, no B-sides. Think about it. No, there are no B-sides on those records. And I don't think there were B-sides with, were there B-sides with Riot Act? Probably.
I don't remember.
But anyway, there were two songs that are like studio outtakes that got out somehow, were put on YouTube, and then they were yanked within minutes. But they exist. So
somebody's got them. Yeah.
So Grimmy.net, which is a Pearl Jam fan site that holds B-sides and a bunch of other stuff, all the stuff that's been released that you can't get your hands on, like the Christmas singles from back in the day,
right,
or old live recordings, they have it as a torrent. I don't torrent files.
So, that's illegal. Who?
No, I've never.
That's absolutely.
I'm just stupid. Well, I'm just stupid. Kind of. paranoid with computer safety. So I always think that if I upload something, then maybe I could download something bad.
Right, right, right.
So, and then like my wife will think I'm looking at porn, and then it's just going to be like,
because there's no way you're doing that.
No,
no way.
Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, it's available as a torrent, and the songs are there. I just haven't heard them. So I sent out a tweet, and usually my Pearl Jam followers, the fans of Pearl Jam that follow me, are very helpful when I like, hey, did you know this? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, this blah, 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 this happened. Or I'll be like, hey, can somebody point me in the direction of this? And they'll send me a link.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, I really want to hear these Avocado B-sides. Where can I find them that's not a torrent file?
Right.
Crickets.
Really?
Yeah. So,
but they're out there.
They're out there. And I really want to hear them because, I mean, it's like, you know, there's tons of vaulted shit that Pearl Jam hasn't released.
Oh, totally. So, yeah, you got to wait till they're dead. That's when all that stuff will come out.
Yeah. And we'll be like in our 60s and they'll be dead and
we
won't care.
We'll be delirious.
We'll be AARP. So.
So we went through and did you make some notes on Backspace or did you just mental
notes? No, it's all in my head.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I had to write them down because as it turns out, I'm dumb. So should we start at the top? Just play a little sample of where Backspacer begins with this one. Which, by the way, you're a seasoned pro at these curating of the Pearl Jam albums.
I have experience. Curated one, yes. Do you wanna hear something sad? We are the phantoms of desire. I wanna shake this thing. I wanna shake this baby before I retire. I'm gonna see my friend. I'm gonna see my friend. Make it go away. I'm gonna see the everything. I'm gonna see my friend. You catch the horns, by the way?
What's that?
Can you hear the horns?
No.
It'll pick up again. Just take this, listen to it. They're very, very fast. Very, very fast. I swear to God, there's horns.
Totally not.
I swear there's horns in
no
that
way.
Song.
No way. You're making it up.
I swear there's horns in that song.
You're drinking that Pearl Jam beer.
Yeah, I have two of those that I haven't opened yet.
You got to get on that.
See, it doesn't taste that good.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't
taste really not that good.
It's not that great of a beer.
It's really not.
And the thing is, I've told myself I was going to wait. When I bought four bottles. Okay?
Yeah.
I bought two bottles at $25 apiece. Because they were really hard to find, and I found them, and they were found in Aberdeen, of all places.
Of course.
And then I found two at the Metropolitan Market in Lower Queen Anne.
Okay, yeah.
And so I got those two they were $20. So I spent almost $100 on four bottles of beer. And I the idea was to drink one, you know, enjoy it, listen to some Pearl Jam, you know, and then maybe drink another one with a Pearl Jam buddy, which I decided, fuck it, I'm going to drink it.
Totally.
So I have two. One was going to stay unopened just because.
Just because, yeah.
And I have an open bottle that's on display just because I wanted to keep the bottle.
Sure.
And then the third one, the final bottle, I wanted to open the day Pearl Jam released a new album.
Oh, there we go.
And that day is coming.
Yeah.
So on October...
You'll be drinking really pissy
October
beer.
14th or whatever, the day before the record comes out, I will put it in the fridge, and then I'll crack it open and give...
And it'll be gross.
Give Lightning Bolt a spin, and it'll I'll probably gross. Vomit.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But back to Gonna See My Friend.
Good way to start a record.
You think?
I think overall, it helps set the tone of the album. It's a quick song, under 3 minutes. There are definitely more upbeat songs than there are slow songs on the album, but the record itself has, you know, its lulls. I think that it does a good job of kind of declaring this is the kind of album that Backspacer is. This is where Pearl Jam's at.
See, now that I think I can get on board with, because when I hear that song, and this is my criticism of several songs on this album, I feel like it's a song that has a lot of great parts that they just kind of jam together.
Mm.
It doesn't flow. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I heard, I think McCready described their, like, the songs he likes to write and how they're like waves and they build and eventually they crash and then they, you know, splash against the shore. And, like, that's how he writes his music, is he wants to have this kind of momentum. And I feel like every time this song just starts to get going somewhere, they go, well, let's just do that to put these two things together. It just feels very clunky. It feels like they're just, like, squeezing square pegs into round holes. And just jamming lots of good parts together. It doesn't flow for me.
That kind of describes the record for me.
That's exactly, yeah.
And it's like there's a lot of really good ideas, but it's not really cohesive.
Yeah.
But most Pearl Jam records aren't super cohesive to begin with, I don't think. I think there are a few that you can listen to all the way through and get that album experience, but a lot of them are just, well, there's good songs and bad songs. It's just a record.
Should we move on?
Yes.
This, by the way, I think is still my favorite song on the record.
Definitely the drumming showcase on the record.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just with that rolling intro.
Yeah. And it's still building. Like, you're on this ride, and it's still, like, you've already gone through the chorus once, but they're not done. They're resetting, they're building again. This one, it just feels like it's just seamless. It just flows, but in a very driven, aggressive way.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the stronger tracks on the record for sure.
I feel like it highlights where Eddie was at that point too. I don't feel like he's forcing anything, which is exactly what I wrote down, and I didn't know that.
Good work.
But by the way, little tip. Don't ever try and do that song in karaoke, because even though in your car, when you're by yourself, seems like a good idea, it's a bad scene when you actually perform it, because it's a hard ass song to do.
Yeah, well, very quick cadence.
Yeah,
I don't ever want to do a Pearl Jam song karaoke. So
it's not easy.
Let's play my least favorite song on
the
record.
Let's do that.
Let's play Speed of Sound 9.
This is your least favorite?
Yes. It's a nice song, but it just doesn't do anything. It's hard to remember anything moving at the speed of sound. Moving with the speed of sound.
See, I like this one. I think lyrically, it's kind of what I've come to expect from Eddie. It's kind of, you know, vague, and, you know, it's not really obvious. You can kind of make it your own, but it's another one of these. There's so many songs like this that are
it's boring.
It's kind of forgettable.
It's forgettable. Yeah, but it's I mean, Amongst the Waves is forgivable it actually picks up, and it's Amongst the Waves reminds me of Lightning Bolt. We played Lightning Bolt last time, and that was a song where we were talking like how it could be this driving, like, open road song that just, you know, it goes, you go with it, and Amongst the Waves is like that.
Here's Amongst the Waves. What used to be your
house of cards has turned into a reservoir. Save the tears that were water falling. Let's go swim tonight, darling. And once outside the...
This one, it's funny when I was describing it in the notes that I was taking. I was trying to say it feels like I'm sitting on a boat, literally riding like the current somewhere. Like it's just this kind of flowing, different speeds kind of a thing. And it didn't occur to me that I was writing that description for Amongst the Waves. And I think that's very intentional. I think that's the feel they were going for.
And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a surfing song, but it is about waves. And, I mean, not all of 10, but a lot of 10 is about surfing.
Yeah.
A lot of what Eddie writes is, you know, surfing. There's a reason his merch line is called the Seattle Surf Company. You know, it's kind of, he's inspired by the ocean.
Did you pick up on, there's two things on this album that I kind of pinpointed today, giving it another listen. One, a lot of love songs.
Yes.
A lot of love songs, which is weird. And two, in listening to this and also going back to Avocado, there's a lot of a message about kind of casting something away and letting, it seems like there's some sort of a darkness, a depression, something that whoever has written the songs, probably Eddie, because he does most of it, how he's kind of put all that behind him. And it's interesting to me how often that keeps coming back and over those last two albums.
Well, and I think a little bit of it has to do with this album was released after George W. Bush was out of office.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably some optimism there with the new administration, albeit it's not Ralph Nader.
Right. Although he got on board with Obama this time.
Yeah. But notice the band didn't stump for Obama.
No, they didn't. I think they did.
They stumped for him this last election.
Yeah, not the first time.
2012, but not
the first
not
time. Some of them did, but Eddie was still in the Nader camp.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Ed played a benefit show for President Obama in Florida.
Yeah.
It was like $1,500 or $15,000 a ticket or something.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. But anyway, I think that a little bit of that has to do with it. More optimistic. Climate for just life, like being an American or being like politically plugged into the world.
Yeah.
Feeling something that's a little bit of hope, dare I say, change.
Yeah. And I got that too. I mean, just personally, that was a similar thing for me. I realized how angry I was when I didn't have to be angry anymore. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still angry.
You're mad. You're a really mad motherfucker.
But man, how much I carried around. So I can sympathize with that. But also he's got a couple of young kids, and recently remarried, right? So I mean, is that in that time frame?
I think he was a dad before he wrote this record, before the record came out.
For both kids?
Maybe not both,
okay.
But I do know that he took his daughters to see One Direction at Key Arena.
That's right. I saw that picture.
You know, it's an adorable photo.
What a thrill for the One Direction kids.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. I mean, people were so upset and like angry. Oh my God, why would he do that? And it's like, he's got daughters.
Dad and he's Eddie Vedder.
He can do whatever the fuck
exactly.
He wants. He's Eddie Vedder, you know?
Please.
Like, he hangs out with Dennis Rodman.
Please.
I mean, God. Just
can you imagine Dennis Rodman, Eddie Vedder, and Kim Jong Un just kicking it
with One Direction,
just kicking it with One Direction
as the house band,
right? we've got a lot of tracks to get through here. Where do you want to go next?
Oh, you want to go through all of them? Oh my goodness.
I thought you wanted to do all of them.
Oh no, I just wanted to talk about the record.
Oh.
I didn't want to go through all of them. I mean, it's kind of boring.
I made notes on all of them.
We should talk about whatever you. I mean, I don't want to kill your notes.
Okay, well there's two I think that I definitely want to talk about. And this one I think you already know. If we know each other at all, then you know that I already how I feel about this song.
Another one.
What the hell is this song?
Well, it's about somebody.
Yeah.
But it's definitely out of... Because there are like five fast songs. Five.
Hey. You,
pipe down
you
there,
pipe
Ed.
Pipe down there, Eddie.
Ed, they were talking. Don't talk. Don't sing over me, Eddie.
The grown-ups are talking.
Yeah, Ed. Go back to your cave, Ed. Go back to throwing axes. Well, there are essentially five mid-tempo to fast songs and then five mid-tempo to slow songs on the record.
Yeah.
And this, out of the more upbeat songs, this is definitely the weakest. It fits well with the record.
Yeah, I guess, but it doesn't fit within itself. It's another one where I feel like they just kind of took these different pieces that they didn't know what else to do with and just jammed them into some song.
Yeah, that's
weird.
I mean, it is a 36-minute album, so that probably some of that did happen. If not, that was maybe the entire recording process was, hey, let's just get in a room and jam these out as fast as possible and release it.
All right. We really can't stand each other. Let's face it. Let's bang this thing out.
I've got a ukulele, damn it. I want to make a record with a ukulele.
But probably the most relevant song to be talking about as we look forward to the Lightning Bolt release is this one. Supersonic is totally a warm-up to this album, I think.
It probably out of what we've... I hope.
Yeah.
Out of what we've heard with just Mind Your Manners, this fits really well. And granted, Lightning Bolt and the other new song, which name I forget.
Mind Your Manners, there was...
There was Lightning Bolt, and there's a third one.
The other one that we both forget.
Yeah, was just essentially Eddie playing acoustic guitar.
And wasn't it the one where we were both complaining that we've heard enough of this and we're ready to move on?
Yes, exactly. But anyway, this is the most promising, and if the record goes in a direction like Mind Your Manners or even like Lightning Bolt and has that kind of continuous drive, because this song has a very straightforward drive. It's down-tempo now. It's kicking into gear.
Yep.
And then it'll go into more idle, and then it'll just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah.
So more of this, guys. More of this, please. And there were a few from the Avocado album that giving it another listen today. I forget how much of that sound.
Play Severed Hand. I believe that's on Avocado.
Nailed it. This is the album that followed Riot Act, right?
Yes. Yeah. This part right here. Right when it's about to pick up, you hear hear the similarities between Supersonic and Mind Your Manners.
You mean this?
It's like a slowed down Supersonic Mind Your Manners.
Yeah. This is such a great song.
Yeah. If I wouldn't know any better, I'd say my Capri is a one trick pony.
Yeah, more of that would be spectacular on the new record. Otherwise, you know, there were a few things. There's missed opportunities all over the place because the songs are so short. There's one, which one? Let me see if I can find my list. There's one where if they had given Mike room to breathe. Oh, I made the note and I can't find it now. But there's one where there's just enough of a solo where, you know, they're like, yeah, go ahead. You get 10 seconds. Oh, here we go. It was Supersonic. The solo, if they had given him like 5 minutes to just go crazy and then bring that song back, that could have been, you know, a Led Zeppelin forever remembered amazing song.
I don't think Pearl Jam has any more of those in them.
Oh, I think they do. Because they have hints of it.
I hope they do.
But
I
mean, it feels like they hold back or there's something that gets in the way. And, you know, maybe it is... age and time and whatever. But I just there are glimpses of greatness like that.
So on the mic tip,
yeah,
something I've got to mention. Shadow. Do you know about Shadow?
This is his side band?
Well, this was his band before he was in Pearl Jam.
Okay.
This is the band he went down to LA with.
Okay.
Rick and Chris Friel.
Yeah. So I saw them play at the Showbox just like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're playing another show this year.
Where? When?
I don't know the specifics. I believe I saw it advertised on Facebook.
I want to go to
I want to say it's at the Showbox again, but I'm not 100%. And so I sent out a tweet right before I came in, and I was like, hey, I'm going to record Evil Little Goats podcast. Anybody got some Pearl Jam news or info that they want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And good old Chris Friel tweeted me and said, hey, Shadow. And that's all his tweet was. And I was like, so I started looking for it because I remembered. I was like, oh, yeah, totally forgot about Shadow. And so they're really fun live.
Quick tangent. Can I tell you what a fan of Chris Friel I am?
Yes, please.
Oh,
do.
My God. That guy is unbelievable. I don't know if I've ever seen a drummer have more fun playing the drums. That guy, he's just smiles from the minute he gets out there until the minute he's done. I've followed Goodness up and down the Washington coast. I love that band like you have no idea. And Chris Friel, I'm such a fan.
Well, and Rick Friel's the same way.
Is he?
Rick just has a blast when he plays. Yeah, you can just tell he's
seen
having
him
fun.
The one or two. I think he played with Goodness a couple times.
He was in Goodness.
No.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, right.
He filled in for the bass player's name that I'm forgetting and I feel terrible about. Both of them are just unbelievably fun to watch.
Very fun, yeah. So anyway, Chris wanted to talk about Shadow, wanted us to mention Shadow. They've got a show coming up. I will get the information and we'll mention it the next episode.
Yeah, we should go to that.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that band.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. You want to talk about giving Mike room to play.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Well, and what's really great is Mike, it's a different kind of playing.
Yeah.
He only breaks out the flying. I've never seen him play a flying V with Pearl Jam, but I'm sure he has. I'm pretty sure he has. Actually, scratch that, I have seen him do it.
Really?
But he breaks out the flying V with Shadow, and he plays metal. That's great.
I've seen that. He does the whole behind the neck, falling down on the stage, just smashing stuff. The metal mic comes out.
Yes.
In that show. It's so much fun to watch.
Is that about wrapping it up, man?
I think we're about wrapping it up. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I think we got it all.
You got some merch from a friend a few days ago. Do you want to talk about that? Or are we not talking
about
that?
No, we'll talk about
that later. We'll hold on to that one.
Yeah.
Then I think that's it. I think. There was the Wilford thing. That's kind of funny. If you're a Wilford fan, then go watch Wilford and you'll pick up.
You'll get the joke. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did like. I know I shared it with you on your Facebook wall. I think it was from. That might not be Wrigley, but when Eddie made the joke about being big rock stars and the wine that they had was terrible, I was going to play that too, but we've already talked it out,
and we all know Eddie's a pretentious prick. I mean, who throws axes? Come on, is he an Apache chief? What's going on here, Ed? Axe throwing? How absolutely unsafe can you be?
Yeah, don't you have children?
I imagine the little kid with the apple on her head. No, I don't. Hopefully people can take that with a grain of salt. Yeah.
Because let me tell you, when the line to throw axes with Eddie Vedder forms, you'll get behind this guy. Right?
Yeah, I'll get behind you.
Because I want to do that. That would be fun. All right, well, let's get out of here. We were just playing a little bit of this. We'll play a little bit more of this. Evil Little Goats, number 7, done.
In the can, done. Thanks for listening.
Number 8, coming sometime soon.
Soon.
Hopefully. And with more Pearl Jam secrets and fandom and geeking out. And maybe we'll curate another record together.
Yes. This time I will take notes.
All right. Very good. And I'll just make stuff up.
Sweet.
Cool. All right. We'll see you next time on Evil Little Goats at GorillaCandy.com. Bye-bye.